that he could play anything. And so when he entered the academy, he also entered a piano course in order to become a virtuoso.
Mm-hmm.
He considered that as a career which might satisfy the demands of his parents for mm-hmm. money, you know, making money and not starving to death. And but the teacher, I forgot his name, with whom he studied, had a method. And it consisted in working with one finger or something, you know,
mm-hmm.
Constantly and so on, and it overworked his fingers. He was double jointed and had very soft bones
mm-hmm.
in respect. And I think it overwrought the fingers, and he had to wear his hand in a cast for a while. You
know? Mm-hmm.
And he said that on the corridors of the academy, he met another professor, and he said, "Oh, another victim of the method." Apparently, mm. this happened quite frequently, but that ended his career as a virtuoso.
Mm-hmm.
But it, for his own use, he played very well.
Mm-hmm.
He also needed the piano as a stimulant,
mm-hmm.
and he would when he composed, he would play. And, you know, when you listened, it sounded sometimes very, very awful. Because it, mm-hmm. it was just violent chords, you know, mm-hmm. that somehow didn't make any sense. But they kind of released that
mm-hmm.
something.
And he could certainly hear yeah. what was yeah. supposed yeah. to be coming
you
out.
Know,
yes.
But it was sometimes very hard to make mm-hmm. out something.
And certainly as we go along, we'll see that his ability as a pianist influenced the way he wrote music, and certainly one of the factors that makes his songs the significant achievements
yeah.
they are, where the accompanist is a true partner.
Yeah,
and not
it
a
is.
Subordinate.
And on the other hand, because he disregarded difficulties, and it was you know, easy for him to bring out what he wanted, it's sometimes too difficult, I think, the accompaniment. And I think that accounts for the rejection that it found, because many of the accompanists are usually the ones who show it to the singers, you know.
Yes.
So, and then they probably found it too uncomfortable to
yes.
to promote it.
Yes. Think of something like Schrei, which is fiendishly difficult.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If one tries to get
yeah.
all the notes. I think we've begun to get a good picture of his family background, of the obstacles he had to overcome, of some of the shaping forces on his music, of his formal training, and some of the self-teaching to which he continually subjected himself. It's clear that, for one reason or another, he was determined to be a composer.
And oh, yes. I think there was never any doubt in his mind from his earliest, from chapter one.
Perhaps now we can talk a little bit about life as a young, aspiring composer in a musical capital of the world, one that certainly had been famous for centuries. How was Vienna as a place
for
a budding composer?
Well, I think it was in some way a wonderful place, because when you imagine that there were in Vienna three orchestras that were playing, the Philharmonic, the concert orchestra, then there was the really four, the radio orchestra,
mm-hmm.
and the orchestra that was called the Sinfonica. They
mm-hmm.
have recently come here,
yes.
Too. Then there was the big opera, and there was the folks opera, and there were usually two little chamber opera outfits. One was in the Redoutensaal, that was one of the palaces, and had a big hall with gobelins, richly decked
mm-hmm.
out with gobelins, and it was very pretty, and they would give a chamber like a marriage figure and Donizetti, things,
mm-hmm.
smaller ones, you know, chamber operas. And there was the Schönbrunn in the summer, in Schönbrunn, in the Schloss Theater, there were
mm-hmm.
also. And that is not the operetta houses.
Mm-hmm.
That is just
right.
for serious, for classical music.